You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Want to know about your past, present, and future? Well, look no further than the New Testament book of Ephesians. That's what our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, says today in our study of Ephesians chapter 2. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and our journey through God's entire word continues in a minute. But first, I got a quick letter from a fellow passenger named Bill in Quartzsite, Arizona. Bill says, I discovered your program on Sirius XM. I'm a truck driver working the night shift. Dr. McGee's messages are so relevant to today's climate, I thought he had just recorded them. Then one day I heard you mention something about his passing into heaven and got home and looked up your webpage. I was shocked to learn he had passed away more than 30 years ago. I was still in high school when he retired. I was truly saddened by this revelation, but I was amazed at how one man can continue to impact the world as he has. Every night I look forward to this program. Even now my eyes tear up thinking of the day I can shake his hand and say thank you. Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for sharing your story. Glad to have you aboard the Bible bus. You know, let me ask you, what has God's Word and the time that we've spent in it mean to you? Has maybe a specific book or chapter changed or challenged your way of thinking? Well, just remember, your notes of encouragement about that subject mean so much to us. So would you write today and let us know? You can email us, super easy, BibleBus@ttb.org. You can always write us a quick note. Send it to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Or leave a message at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now let's pray as we open God's Word together. Lord, thank you for your saving grace, which is available to everyone. Lead us as we study to your truth. We ask that many will respond to your offer of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Get ready. We're now off to Ephesians 2 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we return back today to this very wonderful second chapter of Ephesians, and we got down about two verses here. And I'd like to conclude that section by saying this, that we're in an area now where the past, present, and future of the church and of believers are given. You want to know, Christian friend, your past, present, and future. Perhaps you've driven down a highway sometime, gone through maybe a rather poor section, and you see a sign up by a house that says, we tell your past, your present, and your future. And they generally have it figured out that when you go in there, that they tell you how you're going to come into a great fortune. You're going to get a lot of money. You're going to be able to make a lot of money. I always think that's amusing because these people that know so much about the future, they generally live in the poorest section. They are poor as Job's turkey, however poor Job's turkey was. And they actually are not able to make it themselves, and yet a great many people go to them so they'll be able to make it. And it's very interesting that even a lot of God's children don't seem to be able to let God give us our past, our present, and a future. Well, we have it all right here in the second chapter. Now we were seeing last time the past. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, a trespass is the thing Adam did. The word used of his sin. That which he did, he stepped over God's bound. And sins means just to miss the mark. We just don't come up to God's standard at all. And that's our condition, by the way, dead in trespasses in sin, and yet energized by Satan. In other words, the unsaved man's walking around this world like a spiritual zombie. He's dead in trespasses and sins. And now we're told here, in times past, you walked according to the course of the world. That is, you walked according to the age or the spirit of the age and of this world. And that means the society that we're in, what we call civilization today, the lifestyle. And according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh or energizes the sons of disobedience. Now, Satan leads these folk around as he led all of us around Now, what does it mean to walk according to the spirit of the age of this world? Well, I recognize that today we hear a great deal about separation. And most of this talk on separation means that you get away from that which is fleshly or carnal and godless. But may I say to you that this lost world is characterized by certain mental and spiritual sins that are actually, I think, in God's sight, worse than the physical sins. Listen to James chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, there are a great many folk that come to church on Sunday, and they're as pious as a church mouse, and however pious a church mouse is. But, oh my, they talk about being a separated Christian, and believe me, Monday morning they start out in this old rough workaday world just as mean and hard and after the almighty dollar as much as anyone else is, and they want it to consume on their own selves, their own selfishness. Now, I know this is strong medicine, and a great many folk don't like to hear it, but there are a lot of Christians living just like this today. James, who's very practical, mentions this. Now, friends, this is the thing we've been saved from. Now, John put it like this in 1 John 2, 15 and 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in it. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, there are a great many people that today are not living in sin. They say, no, I would not commit these sins. And I wouldn't live and act like certain people do. The question is this. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan asked the question like this. He said, would you like to? Is that the reason that you like to see a TV program where it shows them living it up today? Because, you know, we do these things vicariously. I've always felt that the reason that the story of the prodigal son is so popular, the way that some preach it today is, you notice the Lord Jesus never mentioned any of the sins that boy committed when he was in the far country. But I've heard sermons in which you went from one nightclub to another, from one bar room to another, from one brothel to another. And you know the saints really enjoyed that sermon because they sat there and sinned vicariously. Would you like to live there? That's what John's talking about. Love not the world. Do you really love it? How do you feel about it? I remember the first time Ms. McGee and I came to California. We were just, you know, fresh out of Texas. In fact, I'd never seen a body of water. I couldn't throw a rock over it before till I came out here. And we were amazed at the ocean, and we saw it from San Diego out, drove up the coast to Los Angeles. What a thrill. Then we drove from here up to San Francisco, and they were having that Treasure Island affair. She and I went over. We had a wonderful day, I must admit. And though that was the bright lights on those colored walls, and then there was the soft music, it was beautiful. And that night when we left, we got on the ferry, and we went up on top. We were country. Well, we wanted to see the whole thing. And we sat there and looked back at that, and into the fog, that Treasure Island began to fade away, and the music began to die out. And I said to my wife, I said, I've had one of the most pleasant days today I ever had. I sure have enjoyed it. But I said, if right now Treasure Island disappeared and this bay went in under, and that was it, I wouldn't shed a tear, because I don't love anything that's over there. And then I added this, I hope that I can have that kind of an attitude to the world today. A great many folk that talk today about the rapture of the church, and it's a wonderful thing to talk about, but really, I have a feeling some of them are really going to weep when they leave this world because they're so wrapped up in it. wrapped up in a job, wrapped up in a business, wrapped up in a home, wrapped up in some club, wrapped up in a worldly church. And, oh, they won't want to go because of the fact all of that's going to be changed. Well, this is strong medicine. Maybe it's a little too strong for you today. Now, I'm showing that the other apostles talked along this line. Simon Peter wrote in 2 Peter 2:14 and 15, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, this is a picture of the lost world. Do you somehow or another fit into this, child of God? Well, maybe this is enough of this. Now, according to the prince of the authority of the haze of the spirit that now energizes in the sons of disobedience, you can't serve God and mammon. You've got to choose, Christian friend, who you're going to serve. And if you're serving God, it doesn't mean that you just don't go to picture shows and you don't use makeup and you don't. And don't misunderstand, I don't agree with that type of separation. But that's what I hear today. And that you don't do this and that and you don't associate with certain men that associate with liberals. That's not separation. That's absurd to talk like that. And then yourself to have eyes so filled with bitterness and hatred and selfishness. My friend, those are the gross sins, by the way. Oh, I better move on because I'll lose my audience. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation. Now, do you notice that Paul now makes it a we? He includes himself. First person plural pronoun that he adopts now. He puts himself right with this crowd. And you and I need to do so also. Among whom also we all had our conversation, that is our activities, our lifestyle, if you please, in times past, in the desires of the flesh, that is of the old nature, doing the desires of the flesh and of the thoughts, and that's of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Now, there are Christians today that just live for the carnal nature. And that's the way the man of the world is living today. Prompted and motivated by a godless philosophy and controlled by satanic principles. As a man, and he's supposed to be an outstanding Christian businessman. I visited him once. He showed me his home, a lovely home. He told me about his children. He told me about his business. Told me about the honors that had been conferred upon him. He never once referred to his relationship to Jesus Christ. May I say to you, there's something wrong with that kind of living. To live like that, to have a lifestyle that includes everything of the world but leaves Jesus Christ out of it. And this is the crowd that Paul says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, will you notice this is the past? But now notice what's happened. But God, oh, this little conjunction, but is so important. But God, being rich in mercy, and God's rich in mercy, and he had mercy on me. I know he's had mercy on you on account of his great love with which he loved us. Now, love didn't enable him to save us, but love provided a Savior so he could forgive us, and he's rich in mercy today. Being even dead in trespasses, he quickened us. That is, he made us alive together with Christ. And now he says, by grace have you been saved. And he's raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, in order that he might show forth in the ages which are coming the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ. Now, but God, and that denotes the radical contrast that has gone before in the first three verses. Those first three verses, they are as black and hopeless as anything can be. Man is a complete failure. He's incapable of saving himself. God comes on this scene of death with mercy. He does not have too little, too late. He has a surplus. For an infinite God is rich in infinite mercy. He has what man needs, and he has what you need. The only requirement is that man believe him. And he does this by his grace. A poor woman from the slums of London was taken down with a group of people for a holiday at the ocean. She'd never seen it before. And when she saw it, she burst into tears. And there were those around who thought it was strange that we'd given this lovely holiday and then for her to burst into tears. And she was asked, says, "Why in the world are you crying?" And she pointed to the ocean. She says, "This is the only thing that I've ever seen that there was enough of it." Oh, my friend, there's enough of the mercy of God. He's got oceans of mercy. Because God does what? He saves us by His grace. Now let me illustrate this. What does it mean to be saved by the grace of God? We were dead in trespasses and sin, incapable of saving ourselves. Now God comes on the scene, and by grace He reaches down. He finds nothing in us. He finds it in Himself. You see, when God came down to deliver Israel, it wasn't because they were lovely and beautiful and serving Him. They were not. They were stiff-necked people, He said. They were idolaters. They were worshiping a golden calf out there in the wilderness. He said, "I've heard their cry." Now, why did that appeal to them? Because He loved them. He loves you and He loves me today. He loves us. But He doesn't save us by love. He saves us by grace. Somebody says, "How does He do that?" Well, let me illustrate that. I have had for years, when I'm in Southern California, a Bible class in Orange County and a Bible class down in San Diego County. And several years ago, a group from Campus Crusade worked on the beaches down there in San Diego County and led quite a few of those young people to Christ. Well, now some of them belong to the hippie group. But I want to say this, that I found out a lot of those are genuine. And I've come to the place myself that I don't judge a man by his dress. And we're told never to judge a book by its cover. You're not to judge a man by his dress. So these young people, the leader, I was told, put them on our program to listen to our radio program. They also used our tapes, used our books, and I didn't know this. When I went down there, the first class, sitting on the first two rows were a bunch of these young people. My, what a crowd of them. And I want to tell you, there's some of them were dressed in a very unusual manner. And they had the long hair and all that sort of thing that associated with this group. But very frankly, they shocked me at first. But I found out they had their Bibles, notebooks, and they had some spiritual life, which, by the way, you don't always find in our churches today. And here these young people were showing real life. Now, a young fellow came up to me afterward, and he said to me, that wasn't the first time, about the third or fourth time, this young fellow who had been attending came up to me, had written all over him, and he had on a funny hat. On it he had written, "Love, love, love, love." He had a funny coat on it written, "Love, love, love." Had funny trousers, by the way, and he had written on "Love." Shoes had written on "Love." He had it written all over him. And I said to him, I said, "Why in the world do you have 'love' written all over you?" "Oh," he says, "man, God is love." Well, I said, "I agree with you. Nothing could be truer than that. God is love." Then he added this, and he says, "God saves us by His love." "Oh," I said, "I don't agree with that. God doesn't save us by His love." I said, "Give me the verse." Well, he scratched his head and thought a minute or two. He says, "Well, maybe I can't think of it right now." Well, I said, "When you do, let me know, because I've never been able to find it." And so he said then, "Well, if God doesn't save us by love, how does He save us?" Well, very frankly, I said, "I'm glad you asked that question. Because I said, the Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And I said, "God saves us by grace." Well, the boy wanted to know, "What's the difference?" Well, I said, "The difference is just simply this." I said, "God does love you." I said, "Let's don't lose sight of that. God loves us." But I said, "God, just on the basis of love, He can't open the back door of heaven and slip us in under cover of darkness. And He can't let down the bars of heaven in front and bring us in the front door." Because I said, now, not only God is love, first of all, God is light. He's the moral ruler of this universe. And He's righteous. He's holy. And He's good. Now, I said, all of that adds up to one thing. God can't do things that are wrong. That is wrong according to His standard. Now, I said that God couldn't save us by love. I said, love had Him strapped. He can love without being able to save. And I said, the verse I thought you were going to give me was John 3:16. God so loved the world. And I said, let's look at it. God so loved the world that he saved the world? No, I said, that's exactly what it doesn't say. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, God couldn't save the world by love because he goes on to say, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, what? Might not perish. Well, I said, you and I are going to perish. We're lost sinners. And God still loves us. But the love of God just can't bring us into heaven. God had to provide a salvation, and he paid the penalty for our sin. Now I said, a God of love can reach out his hands to a lost world and said, now if you'll believe in my son, because he died for you, and will come to me on that basis, I can save you. Now I said, God doesn't save us by love. God saves us by grace today. And I said, frankly, that's more wonderful. Because I said that today I could get out of favor, or could when I was a boy, with my parents, because of sin, because something I did wrong. But I said, I can never get out of favor with God. Now, I can lose my fellowship. And if I sin, that breaks fellowship. The Spirit of God is grieved. But I said, if I'll come back to him, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive my sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But even if we walk in darkness and we say we have fellowship with him, we're lying because we're not having fellowship. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And what happens? If I walk in the light of the world of God and I see I've come short, well, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, just keeps on cleansing me from all sin. Why? Because God does it by grace. And what about grace? Well, he's rich in mercy and grace. He extends mercy to you today. And God has his arms outstretched to a lost world and says, if you'll come my way, and by the way, this is his universe. He's doing it his way. You may have a better way, but you don't have a universe. He does. This is his. He makes the rules. And you're going to have to come his way. He loves you. Oh, you can't keep him from loving you. Now, what you can do, you can't keep the sun from shining, but you can get out of the sunshine. And by sin today, by being out of the will of God, turning your back on him, you won't experience the love of God. But if you'll come to him through Christ, he'll save you. God is rich in mercy. Now, that's the present state of the believer. How is that? Why, he not only lifted us from a graveyard, a spiritual graveyard, but he's made us alive sitting in Christ today, yonder in the heavenlies. He's the head of the church, remember. We saw that in the first chapter. And what's he going to do? Why, he's going to show forth in the ages which are coming the exceeding, the overflowing riches of his grace and kindness toward us. I'm going to be on exhibit someday. And angels are going to go by and say, see that fellow McGee? He wasn't worth saving. He was lost. But look at him today. He's here in heaven. And why is he here? Because of the riches of the grace of God. And God was kind to him. God saved him. And God brought him here. And that's going to be for the praise of God throughout the eternal ages. And I'm not going to get any credit at all. Did you know that? Oh, not one bit of credit. But you want to know something? I'm going to be there. And that's good enough for me. And I'm going to join that angelic host. And I'm going to sing praises to God. Why? Because he saved me. I'll be for the demonstration of that. Friends, you can't have it any better than this. This is the most wonderful thing that I know of that we have. And here we're told in a very wonderful way that we've been quickened together with Christ. That's a possession. Impartation of divine life, raised and seated with Christ in the heavenlies, that's a position that we're given today. And you just can't add anything. And grace is the way. Grace is mentioned twice here. And you can't have it, friends, any more wonderful than this. Oh, today to praise him for his infinite, wonderful grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, praise God for his amazing grace. If you'd like to share today's message with a family member or friend who maybe needs to hear this exact message, you can visit ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can answer your questions about this fruitful ministry. And when you're in touch, please tell us how you catch the Bible Bus. Is it on our app or online? Maybe your favorite Christian radio station. Maybe it's that Bible Bus flash drive, or maybe it's YouTube or something else. Remember, that little bit of information really does help us in a big way. We'll continue to learn about salvation by grace through faith next time. I sure hope that you'll hop aboard the Bible Bus and maybe even invite a friend. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Jesus came home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole Word to the whole world.
To WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of God of Melbourne, Florida. I pray all of you are blessed today because this is the day the Lord has made and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard and that's in Melbourne, Florida. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our service times are on Sunday at 11 o'clock sharp. Come and be blessed. Amen. Now here's Pastor Ross.
Well, we thank the Lord once again for this glorious opportunity just to come into your homes and nursing homes, prison cells, automobiles, wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he truly loves you. He came into this world for you. The Bible tells us that he came to seek and save that which was lost. And we all were lost and needed a Savior. So I want to pray for you out there in Radio Land today, those that are born again, and even the ones that have tuned into this broadcast thinking that it was by a mistake, but it was a divine appointment where you can hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about the gospel, not anything other than the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we are to preach the gospel. Glory to God. And that is the only way that folks are going to get saved and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, only through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand today that this gospel, the word of God, didn't come to any man only. It came to us all because all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Apostle Paul had said there in Romans 1 and verse 16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So I want to pray for you out there and ask the Lord to touch the hearts of those that are not born again. And I mean born again. I don't mean talking about the word born again. I mean living what the word of God says as a born again believer. Father, I thank you this morning in the most precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that what we are saying we must live, anyone can talk it, but they cannot live it. So if you cannot live it, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us that we would live the life that you've orchestrated in your word. So Father, I pray for them out there today that their hearts will be receptive to your word and your word only, and that they will receive it into their hearts, and that their minds will be regulated and renewed according to the word of God. I ask your blessings to be upon them this day, in this hour, by this broadcast, in Jesus' mighty name. And to you, Lord, and only you be the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, I want to tell you, when I said the gospel, I meant the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is not anything other than the gospel of Jesus that's going to change the lives of people. And I tell you that when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are placed in a decision mode where you either say, yes, Lord, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you say, well, I don't want to be bothered with it. And I want to tell you, then your life will not be changed, because Jesus said in his word that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. But I want to tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I first want to look at 1 Corinthians 15. Praise God. Glory to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise his wonderful name. The gospel must be preached. In order for folks to get saved, in order for folks to understand the problems that they have and the answer to those problems, it has to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, you hear a lot of people say, well, I've given my heart to Jesus, but they don't give their lives to him. You see, if you give your heart, then you must live what Jesus said. Now, Jesus said, when he spoke to the religious folks and all others, he said, if any man come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. Praise God. So Jesus Christ, when we believe in what transpired on Calvary's cross, that I realize that as a sinner, that Jesus is the only answer for all of my life's problems, I'll make that decision to say, yes, Lord, you took everything for me, and you did it on the cross of Calvary. So Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and I want you to understand something, that as he was writing, he was telling them what the gospel is. And a lot of people today need to know what the gospel is. They're preaching everything else but the gospel. That's why folks are not getting saved the way, or born again, should I say, the way that God intended for them to get saved, because they're not hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what all of us need to hear, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that our lives will be changed. That Jesus Christ, he took all of our sins, sickness and disease and griefs and sorrow. He did this all on Calvary's cross. And Paul began to tell the Corinthian church what the gospel is. And you out there in radio land, if you are not preaching what Apostle Paul said by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then you're not preaching the gospel as well. I want to say something here before we get into 1 Corinthians 15, is that in Galatians 1, Apostle Paul was telling the church of Galatia that if any man preach any other gospel than what he has preached, let the anathema of God come upon him. In other words, let him be cursed. And he said, and if any angel come from heaven and preach any other gospel than what he's preached, you don't believe it. That's powerful. I said that's powerful. He said that in Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. So we must preach the gospel. And Apostle Paul was the one that God gave this, or the Lord Jesus Christ gave, who is God, that gave this revelation to him. And he, in turn, is sharing it with us. Praise God. And this is why, if you're not preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're not preaching the gospel. You're preaching your preferences. You're preaching what you want to preach. And this is why folks are not saved at the rate that they should be, because Jesus is the one that should be lifted up. No denomination, no person, no bishop, no whoever it is. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at what the gospel is. And I tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's why I preach the gospel. And there are folks that are ashamed of the gospel, so they preach other things. But in the day of reckoning, they have to answer to the master. I'm not their judge. I leave that in the hands of God. But I want to tell you today, the gospel must be preached. Minister Glory, you know, if the gospel is preached, folks will get saved, because they will realize that they are a sinner.
Yes.
And they need a savior. It's not about congregating in some building and singing songs and beating on drums and all of this. What it is that when you come into a fellowship, I don't care where it is, what denomination it is, You're coming to get your life changed.
Amen.
And the only way that your life can be changed is that the gospel is what will change your life. It changed my life and everyone else that will believe and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not judging anybody out there. I just want to make a point here that the instructions has been given already through and by Apostle Paul. Praise God. He told the church of Corinth. He told all the others, Galatians. Matter of fact, the Judaizers were trying to change the church of Galatia. They were trying to tell him, well, listen, you can accept the, you can receive Christ, but you have to also receive the law of Moses. No, it can't be done like that. Law and grace cannot mix. Only one way. Jesus is the way.
Amen.
Amen. I said Jesus is the way.
He's
the one that will heal and deliver and set captives free. He is the one that will do these things. And our faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. So Apostle Paul lays it out here in terms of this gospel. When you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you go to Calvary right along with him. Praise God. Because that's the only place that your life is going to be changed. You can sit in a building all you want. You can shake the preacher's hand and you can go through all of those religious theatrics. But I want to tell you, if you have not met the Master on Calvary's cross, your life is not going to be changed. That's why so many people today, what is happening is that they go down and they, what they do is that then they utter out a few words and so forth, but they don't, they give their sins to Jesus, but they don't give their lives to him. See, you give your sins to him. Yes, he died for all of our sins, but now what about your life? And the only way that you can live this life is through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not going to move on you unless you believe what took place through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus, not of you, but of Jesus. Somebody out there in radio land should say Jesus.
Jesus.
Because Jesus is the one that will change your life through what took place there on Calvary's cross. Minister Glory, would you like to read that in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1 there? Praise God. And Apostle Paul is telling us what the gospel is. You know, before we used to preach a lot of things. You know, we used to be dogmatic in quite a few things here. But you it just can't be, because the people that would receive what you're saying, they would get drunk in that. Spiritually drunk is what I'm saying in that, and they don't look for anything else or whatever it is that's going on. But Apostle Paul, when I read what he said there in Galatians 1 and verse 8 and 9, he said, if any man preach any other gospel than what I preach, and I had to find out what Apostle Paul preached.
Amen.
And what he preached was the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's easy to sit there and make speeches and tell people about you can get rich and all these other things. But the thing of it is that the gospel must be preached. And this is why souls are not being won at the rate that it should be, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not being preached. Now, that may sound judgmental, but it's not, in a sense, because I've been in this thing for quite some time now, and I know, I mean, we've all made mistakes and so forth, but there's time when we come to the spiritual reality of what actually is taking place. I can make a speech, I can tailor a message to suit my own need, but I want to tell you today that that's not the gospel. I can find out preferences that what I want for people to try to live up to, but that's not the gospel. And what's happening today is that all of this is going on instead of preaching what Christ did for you. He is the pattern son. He's the one that took everything and nailed it to his cross. He is the one that the Father laid the sins of us all on him. Let's look at what the scripture says. You've heard enough of what I'm talking about. I just want you to hear what the Word of God says. That the gospel is. Let's go to church.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel
Okay, first of all, Apostle Paul says moreover. All right, when we say moreover, then, in other words, it's moreover than what you've heard. So moreover, he said, brethren, I do what?
I declare unto you the gospel.
He's declaring unto us the gospel. Now, the gospel is good news. Can you imagine folks hearing the good news? And they say, well, listen, your sins have been dealt with. Your sins are forgiven. All you have to do is to be reconciled to God. Receive Jesus, glory to God, the one that the Father sent to save your wretched soul, to save my wretched soul. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came to save the ungodly. And I was ungodly. And I want to tell you, thank God. He's the one that saved me. He's the one. When I heard the gospel and all the things that I was preaching, I said, well, I thought it was the gospel. No, it was not the gospel. Most of it was my preferences, what I picked out, and all kinds of things that were going on. But I want to tell you today that the Holy Spirit, He's the guide and the teacher, and He's the one that will instruct us and show us and minister to us and empower us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Apostle Paul said, moreover, I declare unto you the gospel. And let's look at what the gospel is. It's good news. When somebody telling you that your sins are forgiven, that's good news. I want to hear it. Go ahead, Minister Garner.
Which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand.
Okay. Read that again, Minister Gloria.
Which I preach unto you.
Yes.
Which also you have received, and wherein you stand.
Glory to God. Now, all the others, the apostles, that's wonderful. But God gave this revelation to Apostle Paul. He didn't give it to Peter. He didn't give it to John. He didn't give it to any of the others. He gave the gospel. And I'm not saying that this negate what they were saying, but what I am saying is that God gave Apostle Paul this revelation. And when you read from Romans, when the ministering of Romans, that Apostle Paul was ministering to the church of Rome, to Philemon, you will see the grace of God. That's what the gospel, the grace of God, the goodness of God, that's given to undeserving people. We don't deserve what we have, but because of the grace, I said the grace of God. You know, let me tell you something out there in Radio Land, that Peter was the apostle of the law. That's what he was. Apostle Paul is the apostle of grace. You can't mix the two. It's like oil and water. Does not mix. What is good is the gospel of Jesus Christ that's been given, brought forth. My God, the grace that we have. And everybody's got this grace. And grace is in place to save your life. When Paul says, the goodness, the good news, glory to God. He said, I declare the gospel. I tell you, that's a wonderful thing, the gospel.
Yes.
Amen. When I heard it, I said, my goodness, Lord, I'm sorry. I must preach what your word says. I must preach the gospel. And the only one that's going to give you the understanding is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's who's going to give you the revelation and knowledge what the gospel is. We have a lot of, today you have a lot of country clubs. You have a lot of social clubs inside there. You have a lot of people that just gather together so they can make speeches to themselves, and they come in one way and go out the same way. But I want to tell you, when you recognize the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, your life will change. If you receive him, your life will change. because he is the one that makes the difference in all of our lives. Go ahead, Minister Gloria.
This is by which also you are saved.
Wait a minute. If, say that again.
By which also you are saved.
So the gospel saves.
Amen.
Listen, the gospel saves. No man is responsible for no salvation. The gospel saves you through your receiving the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because Jesus did it all. Somebody say that Jesus has done it all.
Has done it all.
Glory to God. Read that again, Minister Graham.
By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you.
Glory to God. If you keep this in memory of what Apostle Paul preached unto you. Now, he's talking to the Corinthians. When I read the Bible there and I look at it, I mean, I'm not a Corinthian. But he's speaking to me too, because the word of God, he's speaking to us all. Praise God. And he's telling us all what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. So if you keep this in memory, he said you'll be saved.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. He said you'll be saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You believe what he's preaching. Go ahead, Minister.
Unless you have believed in vain.
Oh, glory to God. You got folks out there, they do believe in vain. They don't believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us all. The moment, matter of fact, our faith must be in Jesus.
Yes.
And not in the denomination that we are associated with. Our faith must be in Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. That's why folks today, the churches are not, they're over flooded with people that believe in themselves and thinking that they can do what it is that gonna bring this glorious salvation to them. No, let me tell you something. The gospel is the good news that will save us if we just truly believe and say, Lord, I just thank you for what your son Jesus has done for us. Matter of fact, in Galatians, I think in Galatians 3 and verse 26, you don't have to turn there. It tells us there that when we're all children of God by faith, yes, in Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
We're not children of God by faith in some denomination. We're not children of God by believing some pastor or whatever it is, ecclesiastical body that you're part of. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the Savior. He is the one that died for you. He's the one that gave his life to you. He's the one that wants to live his life through you. Praise God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to interrupt you anymore, Minister Gordon, but just go ahead and read the rest of it.
For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures.
Good God Almighty. That Christ died for our sins according to what?
The scriptures.
According to the word of God. And I strongly believe this is, and this is my perception here, and I don't think that I'm wrong, but I'm not going to brag about it. The only point I want to tell you is that if our faith everywhere should be in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done, you can go from whatever church it is, whatever the name is, over the door, and you will hear the gospel. You will hear all this other stuff that's going on and people going in one way and coming out the same way. The gospel saves. The gospel heals through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All of this is what the gospel produces. And that's why you have folks today that come in limping and all kind of stuff, walking with crutches, cane, and all kind of stuff, and they don't hear the gospel. They hear somebody's preference or whatever it is that they want to hear, and then they go out the same way. No, the gospel heals. Hallelujah.
Yes, it does.
If it's preached.
Yes.
Go ahead, Minister.
And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Death, burial, and resurrection.
That's what it is. That's what the gospel is. Can you imagine, Minister Gloria, if every church, if I went to the Lutheran, I went to the Assemblies of God, I went to the five squares, or whatever it is, I went to all these other Presbyterian, I went to all of these churches, and if I were to go in there, I would hear the gospel.
Yeah.
I would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that would leave no room other than for me to say, yes, Lord, you took my sins and you nailed them to your cross. Receive you to change my life. I want to open up my heart and receive what you've said. Praise God. That's what it is. It's the gospel. Now, hearing the gospel today, that's why the churches are not, people are not getting saved. They're not getting saved. Praise God. But I want to offer out there in Radio Land today that you don't have to take my word for it, which I hope that you don't take my word for it. Take the word of God and what God's word says. That Jesus died for your sins. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Praise God. And when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, praise God. Give your heart to him, your life will be changed. Minister Gloria, for the closing moment, just offer that invitation.
In Romans 10 and 9, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
God bless you all out there in Radio Land. It's my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.